you'd like to turn to Matthew 26, we'll read verses 36 through verse 39. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Again, in verse 36, Jesus arrives in Gethsemane with the 11. He instructs them to sit while he goes and prays. Verse 37, he takes with him Peter, James, and John. He communed with them, expressed to them what he was feeling at this moment, and then he instructed them, Tarry ye here and watch with me. That is to pray with him. And again, then we read that he went a little further. And again, we want to consider that phrase this evening. We want to speak on going further. Further, of course, means to a greater distance, means to advance beyond. In this case, he was advancing beyond where he told Peter, James, and John to sit. And there shouldn't be any one of us that are saved that does not desire to go further spiritually, to go to a greater distance spiritually, to advance spiritually. We read here that, again, Jesus went a little further. And he knew exactly where he was headed. He knew exactly what was before him. And he voluntarily and willingly went a little further. Well, we want to notice tonight the way that he went forward gives us an example of how we ought to go forward. And how, if we go forward spiritually, we have to go forward the same way that Jesus Christ did. But before we look at how he went further, consider that there is more for you and I spiritually. I'm sure all of us are aware of that. There is always, as long as we're in this life, there is always a higher plane of spirituality. Whatever level of spirituality we are right now, or whatever level of spirituality we might reach, there is always a higher plane for you and I to attain. There is always more spiritually. And that's something that we need to get a hold of. It's something that needs to get a hold of us. Every day there are spiritual opportunities for each and every one of us. There are spiritual privileges. There are spiritual possibilities before every one of us. None of us have reached the spiritual pinnacle. We're still here. We have not reached as high as we can reach spiritually. Again, there's always more for you and I spiritually. Now, we live in a day when many of God's people have already determined in their minds what is spiritually sufficient and spiritually adequate for them. They've already determined that in their minds. Hopefully that's not the case with us this evening, but instead that we would realize that there is more. There is always more. We live in a day when many of God's people are quite willing to settle for less spiritually. They're quite willing to be at peace with a spiritual minimum. And they trivialize spiritual opportunity. But there is spiritually more for each one of us. Again, wherever we are, there is more. There is spiritually more ground for us to gain. Spiritually, there is more for us to obtain. There is more for us to achieve. More for us to grasp. There's always more. There's more for us to be. There's more for us to do. So again, wherever we are, there is more beyond that. There is more spirituality beyond that. There is more of Christ for our lives. And again, personal examination is needed. How much of Christ is in our lives? We need to examine that. But then we need to examine how much of Christ do I want in my life? How much of Christ do I want in my life? Our lives can be more. Our lives can be more saturated with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can, our interests can be more saturated with Jesus Christ. Our ways can be more saturated with Jesus Christ. Our attitudes, our viewpoints, our pursuits, our goals, everything about us can be more saturated with Christ. Our choices, our plans, our hopes, our expectations, our marriages, our homes, can all be more saturated with Jesus Christ. Can we not be more devoted to Christ than we already are? Certainly we can. Can we not be more centered upon Christ than we are? I mean, would anybody say that they are as devoted as they possibly can be? Would anybody say that they are as centered upon Christ as they can possibly be? Would anyone say that they are as Christ-like as they can possibly be? We can be more. It's true of all of us. We can be more holy. That is, more separated, more pure. We can know more than we do. We should not settle for what we know. We should not be scared to know more. I'm afraid that some, not necessarily here, but there are some who are afraid to study, afraid to know, because it might undo what they already know, what they think they know. We can have more faith. I mean, would any of us say that we have as much faith as a human being can possibly have? We can have more grace. We can have more power, more peace, more joy, more assurance. Certainly we can be more submitted and yielded to God. Again, certainly we can be more separated from the world, separated unto God. Are there any of us that could not be less distracted by the world? We can all die more to sin than we have. We can all be more crucified to the world than we are. We can have a closer association, a more personal contact with Jesus Christ, a warmer friendship with the Lord. So there's always more. We can go beyond wherever we are in our prayer life. Wherever we are. We may be, right now, we may have the best prayer life we've ever had in our life. And that's good. That's good. But it can be better. It can always be better. We can always go to a different level. That's true in our church life. It's true in our relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We can have more victories. But we need to realize that there is more spiritually. We can have greater esteem for God, a deeper sense of His presence. Certainly we can have greater experiences of the Lord. We can worship and praise and thank Him more than we do. I mean, is there anyone who thanks God for everything? Is there anyone who worships like they ought to? There's always more. So we should never, ever be satisfied with our level of spirituality. We can always be more sensitive to the Lord. We can always follow Him more fully. Certainly our lives can, in a more manifest way, show forth and reflect and manifest the Lord. Our lives can be more affected and impacted by the Lord. Our lives can be more influenced by God's Word. And God's Word can prevail more in our hearts and our memories and our wills than it does. Wherever we are, this is true. We can be more humbled than we are. We can be less self-willed, less self-seeking. There's always more spiritually. We have never fully grasped how far and how high we can go spiritually. We've never comprehended how far each one of us can go spiritually. So there's more. There's more to the Christian life than just surviving spiritually. Always struggling in our own strength. The Christian life is much, much more than that. And there's more. Don't settle. Each one of us that are saved by grace, we ought to hunger, we ought to long, we ought to thirst for more. Ours ought to be a life of spiritual advancement, always ascending spiritually. I mean, what a wonderful way to live. You are as close as you've ever been to the Lord today. But you realize tomorrow I can even be closer. I mean, that's wonderful. We don't have to go backwards spiritually. We ought to always be going further. The question is, there's no doubt, it can't be argued that we can't go further spiritually, each one of us. But I suppose the question is, how far are we willing to extend ourselves, to obtain more spiritually? How far are we willing to reach for greater spiritual heights? How far are we willing to launch out? How far are we willing to get away from our comfort zone? And again, we all have them. So we read here that Jesus went a little further. Now we can all go further. That's been established. But I believe we can see Jesus here has a pattern. in going further. He didn't go further spiritually. He's perfect. But I believe he serves as a pattern for you and I on how we can go further. You can apply this to just living our lives each day. We go further, and this is how we're to do it. But we're focusing in on spirituality. We can go further spiritually. And this is how we do it. The same way that Jesus went forward. So in this 39th verse, Jesus serves as an example. He serves as a pattern for you and I going further. So we read here in verse 39, and he went a little further. And then notice what it says. We have his posture. And fell on his face. He went a little further and fell on his face. That is suggestive of attitudes that are necessary for you and I to go forward spiritually. And we want to look at four. And if we consistently have these four, we will be going further spiritually. And where any one of these four is lacking, we're not going to go too far. So he fell on his face. That is an attitude of reverence. He is on his face before God the Father. We see this several times in the Word of God. In Genesis 17 and verse 3, we read, "And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him." As he was on his face, God talked with Abram. In Genesis 22, verse 31, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And this angel had his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat." That is, Balaam fell flat on his face. Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship." Joshua 7, verse 6, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face." So that's twice we read of Joshua falling on his face before, and here he fell on his face before the ark of the Lord. And he remained there until the evening, until the eventide. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 41, we read that David fell on his face to the ground. Matthew 17, we have Peter, James, and John. The Mount of Transfiguration, and Christ reveals himself, and there is a voice that comes from heaven. It's the voice of God, and it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In Matthew 17 and verse 6, we read that they fell on their face. They fell on their face. We're to go further spiritually. And we do so on our face before God. We do so on our face in reverence to the Lord. There is no going further spiritually where we lack a reverence for the Lord. Jesus moved forward toward the cross. He's in awe, he's in wonder of God the Father. And he fell on his face. And the way for you and I to go further spiritually is to reverence God. The way for you and I to go further spiritually is found in a high esteem of God. It is found in an honor of God, a regard for God, a respect and an affection for God. And that will enable us to advance further spiritually. But without this reverence, there is no spiritual advancement. Without this reverence, one will be content with a spiritual minimum. They'll always be content with less. But Jesus went forward and he fell on his face. Secondly, it's also an attitude of surrender. It's true in all the cases that we've referred to, whether it be Abram or Joshua or Balaam, or the apostles, Peter, James, and John. In each case, they fell on their face and they did so in surrender. It was a position of submission. And if we're going to go further spiritually, we must take the position of submission. And that, of course, goes along with, it's connected with, a reverence for God. We reverence God when we realize who God is. And when we realize who God is, we reverence God, and we just automatically take a position of submission. So we see Jesus here, he went a little further, he fell on his face. That's a position of submission, and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You have the position of submission, and you have the language of position, of submission. Jesus said in John 6, verse 38, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He took a position of submission. We also see on the night in Gethsemane, in John 18 and verse 11, Then said Jesus unto Peter, remember when they stretched forth to lay their hands on Christ, Peter drew his sword, and Jesus said, Put up thy sword in the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The position of submission. And Jesus Christ in all things is our example of surrender. Looking at Jesus Christ, we see what it looks like to be completely, 100% devoted to God. The world has never seen a human being 100% devoted to God. And if you for a moment think that you are 100% devoted to God, you're not looking at the whole picture. There's only been one who was 100% devoted to God. Jesus Christ. 100% committed and yielded to the Father. And he's our example. He's our standard. And the way to go further spiritually is to do just what Jesus did here. He went forward and he went further. He did so readily, cheerfully, voluntarily. And that's the way we're to go forward. We know there's more spiritually for us. And we're to go further, we're to be ready to do so, we're to do so cheerfully, we're to do so voluntarily, not out of force, and we're to do so continually. Going further, surrendered to God. We need to be always ready to surrender to the Lord. Always ready to lay aside our will for His. We're to do so cheerfully. We're to do so because we want to. We want to lay aside our will, our plans, to be in conformity with Him. And we ought to do so continually. Surrendered to the Lord. So for you and I, a prerequisite for surrender is to acknowledge God's absolute right of claim upon every, and I mean every, aspect of our lives. There's not just certain areas of our life that's reserved for God. God has absolute right of claim upon every second of our life, of our day. We need to realize that. Realizing that, we offer ourselves to Him. We hand over our lives. We relinquish all claim upon our own lives. And we confine we surrender the totality of our being to God. If we're going to go further spiritually, there has to be this reverence. There has to be a position of surrender, complete and entire resignation of our lives to God. None of us have gotten there where we are completely 100% resigned to do God's will. But that ought to be what we strive for every day. The way to go further spiritually is to be a sacrifice to God in life. You can't live your own life as you please and advance spiritually. You have to surrender to the Lord. It is said of Jesus in our text, and He went a little further. And He did so with the will of God as His focus. What was He focused upon? The will of God. He did so with the will of God as His purpose and as His passion. And if we're going to go forward spiritually, we have to do the same. Our focus needs to be the will of God. Whatever God wants. Whatever God wants. That's to be our passion. It's to be our purpose in life. Whatever God wants. We'll be amazed how far we can go spiritually when we're surrendered to the Lord. In a day when many, if not most, are trying to shape God to their plans and their desires and their whims and their ways and their pursuits and their careers and their recreations, God's people are just trying to mold God to fit into their life just the way they want Him to fit in. We'll mold and shape God around our careers, around our recreation, around our plans. Those individuals will not go far spiritually. The ones who go further spiritually are those who are surrendered to God. And they realize, as Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that that is their reasonable service. The word reasonable simply means it's sensible. It's sensible to be surrendered to God. It's sensible. It's valid. It's right. It's never wrong to be surrendered to God. So there's spiritually more, and the way to obtain and to experience it, and it's founded upon this reverence for God, on our face before God. The way to experience spiritually more is to surrender to the Lord. So he went a little further. He fell on his face. We see that's a position of reverence. That's a position of surrender. Thirdly, it's a position of servanthood. It's a position of servanthood. He fell on his face, and he did so as the servant of God the Father. It is declared of him in Philippians 2 and verse 7 that he took upon him the form of a servant. He was equal with God. And he took upon him the form of a servant. And as you follow Christ through the Gospels, you see him presented over and over as a servant. And you see him taking voluntarily and cheerfully a servile condition even to those who were inferior to him. John 13 comes to mind when he washed the apostles' feet. He took a servile condition. Everyone in that room was inferior to Jesus Christ. Everyone in that room should have taken a servile condition to him. But they didn't. But he took the servile condition. And he serves as an example. He said in Luke 22 and verse 27, I am among you as he that serveth. I'm among you as he that serveth. He's a servant. And as he falls on his face, he is taking the position of a servant. And if we want to go further spiritually, there's more out there for us spiritually. We have to take the position of a servant. A servant is one who cares for the work and the interest of his master. Caring more for the work and interest of the master than we do our own work and interest. That's a servant. It seeks to do what will please the master. What will profit the master. Jesus Christ typifies the true servant of God. He epitomizes what a true servant really is. He embodies a true servant. He illustrates and he demonstrates what it is to be a true servant of the Lord. He is the model servant. The Gospel of Mark presents him as the servant. That's the emphasis of Mark. Being a servant, he invites you and I in Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That yoke, of course, speaks of his servile condition. It speaks of his service. And he says, take my yoke. Learn of me. Learn how to serve by observing Jesus Christ. The yoke was something he submitted to. It was something that dominated him. It was the motive of his life. To do the will of the Father. It was the aim of his life. It was the impulse of his life. It was the passion of his life. It was the driving force. That's a servant. And that's how we go further spiritually. That's how we obtain more spiritually. By taking the position of a servant. But the common attitude today is, I'm not anyone's doormat. Jesus was. He was. And he was so willingly. That's what a servant does. And by taking that servile position, we advance further spiritually. Lastly, he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed. So there's reverence. There's a position of submission. There's a position of servanthood. And now we see there was prayer. We mention this last because we will not truly, sincerely, and rightly pray until there is the absolute realization of the sovereignty of God, which always results in a reverence for him. We do not pray where there is a lack of reverence for God. And we will not truly, sincerely, and rightly pray without surrender to God. We're kidding ourselves if we think we're praying while we're fighting with God. Prayer is a surrender to God. And we do not truly pray until we take the position of a servant. What are we doing when we're praying? We're seeking God's will. That's what a servant does. He seeks the will of his master. So you see, true prayer is founded upon devotion and commitment to God. Devotion and commitment to his will. It is founded upon letting go and surrendering to God. And we will not truly, sincerely, and rightly pray without taking the position of the servant. Prayer is a matter of the heart. David said in 2 Samuel 7, in verse 27, "Thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." It is described in Psalm 25 and verse 1 as a lifting up of the soul. Lamentations 3 verse 41, a lifting up of the heart. Psalm 62 verse 8, a pouring out of the heart. Prayer requires the heart. Prayer is an approach to God. We do not pray when we're drawing further away from God. Prayer always draws us closer to God. And we see here he went a little further, he fell on his face, and he prayed. That's what he told Peter, James, and John to do. Tarry ye here and watch. You watch. You watch in prayer. But they didn't. They fell asleep. But prayer requires a drawing near to God. There is spiritually more. But without prayer, it's not obtained. In Gethsemane, Jesus continued in prayer. Notice verse 42. He came upon them in verse 41, and then verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed. And he prays for God's will. And then in verse 44, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. He went further. And each time he prayed, we must be a people of prayer. There is spiritually more. Pray. And when you're done praying, pray again. And when you're done praying, pray again. Just keep on praying. And when God answers one prayer, pray again. We never run out of things to pray for. First of all, prayer is not just simply making requests of God. That's part of it. It's not all of it. So if we're going to go further spiritually, I believe we do so praying all the way. Pray every step. Every step of the way. Talking to God. Talking to the Lord. There may be a battle, and there may be no sign of victory anywhere. Pray. And keep on praying. And if tomorrow comes and there's still no sign of victory, pray again. If another day goes by, pray again. Continue in prayer. There may be a problem with no solution in sight. Fall on your face before God and pray. And pray, and pray, and pray. That's how we advance spiritually. You do not advance spiritually by not praying. You advance spiritually by falling on your face and praying. There may be a need with no sign of provision anywhere. pray. Perhaps there's a need and God provides the need. Pray again. Keep praying. Pray all the way. There may be obstacles. There doesn't appear to be any way around or through or over or under that obstacle. Pray. You don't even have to pray that God remove the obstacle. You just pray God get you around it. God get you through it. The way to go further is to pray. He went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed. And then he went back to Peter, James, and John. Instructed them again. And then what did he do? He went a little further and he prayed again. He's our example. He's our example. Keep going a little further, praying all the way. One step at a time, praying all the way. The problem today is we want everything done. We want it done right now, completely. One step at a time, praying all the way. Praying all the way. So again, there is spiritually more. Jesus is our pattern in going further. It may be true of us each and every day. It may be able to be said of each one of us every single day. And they went a little further. They went a little further. Why, if that's true every day, here we are, however old each one of us are, that was true every single day. We just went a little further spiritually. What a wonderful life to just go further every day than what we did yesterday. To obtain more spiritually. Hopefully each one of us are convinced, absolutely persuaded that there is more spiritually. For each one of us, there is more. That we would long for more. That we would long for everything that God has for us. And that we would go further each day with reverence to God, submission to God, taking the position of a servant before God in praying every step of the way. We do those four things, you'll be amazed at how far you can go spiritually. But however far you go, there's still further to go. There's still further to go. So you just keep on doing these things. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.